Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the first episode of Golfers Doing Things, the podcast. My name is Jake Adams. I'm going to be your host for this podcast. I am a stand-up comedian, avid golfer, and almost graduate of the Professional Golfers Career College. Everybody makes mistakes. Don't go to that college. I am recording this intro live right now from Half Moon Bay in the clubhouse. This place is fucking beautiful. A real staple of the golf industry. Thank you, Half Moon Bay, for letting us come out and play a couple rounds. This place is beautiful, man. This podcast will be featuring every episode some of the biggest names in comedy, giving their take on golf culture, the good, the bad, the goofy things that happen within this world. It's a wild sport that we all love so much, and we're going to get a very unique take from some of the biggest names in comedy. So I'm really excited about this journey we're going to go on. This first episode is with Blake Weber, at Blake Weber on Instagram, at Blake Weber on TikTok. His real name is Aristotle Georgeson, but he goes by Blake Weber. If you don't know Blake, he is hilarious. He has like 1.5 million followers on both platforms, and he does some of the funniest voiceovers of like animal videos and like Tekashi 6ix9ine, Bundle of Britney, Nicki Minaj. He's so funny, and he's also a pretty good golfer. Pretty sure he's broken 80 a handful of times in his life. I know he's played some high school golf, and he tends to drop a bomb or two. So I hope you enjoy this episode. I hope you fuck with us for the journey of this podcast. And I'm really excited to grow this podcast together. All right, guys. Enjoy.
LR, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Wait, say that again.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Dorme vu. Dorme vu. Ooh. Look at the background. Those are the ribs I cooked the other night when you called.
I FaceTimed you when you were cooking those ribs. Or maybe it was a different... You cook meat a lot?
No, these are the same ribs. These are the same ribs you FaceTimed me cooking.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. Just like... if you don't mind if we already start, like we just kind of like... Because I feel like this rib content up top, like that's really like essential. If people need to get a more broad picture of who you are as a person. And somebody who cooks meat on the daily is... probably pretty accurate of what they would assume anyway, but.
Literally. I mean, a lot of people would assume that I'd be cooking meat.
Yeah. Is there an outfit of choice when you're on the grill? Is it just strictly like no shirt, or what does that look like?
It just depends time of day, time of year, really, in terms of what you wear. So usually I am cooking with a shirt. I don't own an apron. I'd like to have an apron.
You strictly only podcast without a shirt. Aristotle currently is, I don't believe, has a shirt, unless it starts below your chest.
There's no shirt here. There's no shirt.
Just picture a 12-day-old shaved chest glistening in front of some ribs.
Probably accurate, dude. I need to shave it. I do need to shave it.
Are you going full down? Are you going completely off? For because that's something I've struggled with for sure. I've made a lot of mistakes in that category as far as how much of my chest to shave, how long before you like have a big event do you shave? Because if it's day before, it's like, come on, man. Like, how much effort do you put in? But like. And then also, I feel like it's cool sometimes. Like, I've seen a lot of guys who have, like, the top a little more hairier, and then, like, the rest is there. It's clean. It's, like, it's glistening. So, like, above the pecs, you got a little bit of a cheddar, and then below, nothing.
Yeah. So, I went, this last time I did it, I went full on, just shaved everything, and I thought it looked weird for a second, but my girlfriend really liked it. So I was like, all right, let's fucking rock the shave. And so I'm definitely due to do another shave. And I have real sensitive skin, so I can't use like a razor. I have to use my clippers that I use to trim my face. And
wait, you're using scissors? Sure, you're using scissors on your chest?
No, clippers. Like,
oh, got you. Okay. Yeah. I don't know why I thought you were talking about scissors.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I take scissors and I cut each hair individually. It's really tedious, and I have stabbed myself. So, the scissors sound really, it's like very, I love that sound, you know?
Well, dude, thank you for taking some time to be on this podcast. If people don't know you, then you haven't been on the internet. But if in case they don't, Blake Weber on Instagram, and Blake Weber on TikTok as well. I feel like both accounts you have well over a million followers. Maybe even Instagram you got two. I don't know.
They're good, man.
To quote one of the greats, you're currently killing the game. Also, you just released this like half an hour ago, but I just watched the video of you, your documentary about how you in your spare time are a goat.
Yes.
Man, that was so funny. Like, that was truly like...
You liked it?
Yeah. The fact that you chose to have a lisp as well. I for sure was waiting for the end for when they're like, oh, what are your goals and dreams for you to just say you wanted to be the greatest of all time.
There are definitely cuts where I think I said that, but I thought it would just be funny to like leave it as, you know, as something that people were thinking, but... this dude, James Gelson, never said, because he was truly pure to the idea of wanting to live life as an actual animal, goat.
Yeah, I respect that creative choice. Not break the character at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Just... Yeah, no, that's all you can do.
You can do a lot with that, you know? Like, I feel like there could also be a second episode where you find some more competition in somebody who, like, also is a goat, but, like, in the neighborhood.
And we start goating at each other.
Yeah. okay, I don't mean to like throw shade, you know, up top. This isn't like a roast podcast or anything, but like, has anybody ever compared you to a goat before this? That being said, growing up, people would call me the Black Crow because I was like pretty tan and my nose resembled that of a crow. Was that like a character choice you made based on past experiences of like in the comments or something? People are saying you look like a goat.
No, it's actually interesting. The concept sort of just came because I forgot what I was watching exactly, but there was a clip of a man who actually did this. This is like kind of based on a true story. And this dude literally went to live amongst goats, and he wore this like this crazy helmet, and he had these goat arms fabricated that were attached to his arms so that he could walk on all fours. And I was just like so fascinated by it that I just thought it'd be funny to do like a parody of someone who doesn't have their shit together, but is really trying to live life as a goat. So it was kind of paying homage to this dude who like went all out, but also just making a parody version of like the Walmart version of this guy who is taking his life way too seriously.
So in that documentary, does he like take some sort of steroid to get to like have more? Do you know people do that? Like people who transition who want more hair?
No, he wore like full clothes. Like he just wore like normal hiking clothes. Wanted to live like amongst goats, and it was absolutely fascinating. And he was dead ass serious, and it was. Like I couldn't get over it. And I was like, oh my God, I need to make this video. And so, my girlfriend was like, let's fucking do this. And, we made our own version.
This guy wearing hiking clothes is just like a great ad for Sorrel. Just like
exactly. Dude.
Yeah. Live your truth. Sorrel. We have actually played some golf together in our life. Turns out.
Yeah.
You hit the ball pretty good. I was genuinely surprised. Not like, I mean, you said you grew up playing, but like I didn't, like you were hitting some like a good 310, 320.
Yeah, no, dude. I was shocked at how good you were, dude. I mean, when you hit me up to play, you know, you expect someone, you know, and especially in LA, I feel like no one is good at golf. And when we played, I was just like, you told me your index, your handicap, and I was like, holy. Like what? And then some of your shots, dude, I was blown away. Your short game really is where you got it going on, bro.
Thank you for saying that publicly, that I played well with
you. No, dude, blown away, man. I was blown away because like amongst my peers, you know, I'm not like a great golfer, but I'm definitely best amongst my peers. And so I just assume everyone in LA is just not good at golf. And then I was like, fuck yes, this is refreshing, because, you know, as a fellow comedian, it's also nice to have, you know, interesting, funny, weird conversations. And you don't get that a lot with these golfers, you know, like, especially ones that actually can play well. So like it was refreshing, and I can't wait till you come back so that we actually can play again, because it was a good round. It was a good, fun round.
Yeah, that was super fun. We played a nice course too. So how often will you go out and play now? Have you been playing at all through quarantine?
Yeah, I've been playing a little bit here and there. I've played like maybe 4 or 5 rounds since okay. quarantine started, and fortunately I have not played any rounds where I was randomly paired with people. I was either in foursome. Actually, I take that back. Yes, I did. I played one round at Los Feliz Par 3, where I was randomly paired with this group of dudes that lived on the golf course.
Like in those apartments right there?
I'm sure. Yeah, yeah, they lived there.
I think that's the only residence on that course.
Literally. Yeah, they were like, yeah, we walked here. And they were all super nice. And I was playing with Aristotle Athiris, fellow comedian. It was actually his first actual round of golf. And it was at the par 3 there. And the guys were trying to give him tips all day on how to be better. And I swear to God, he was trolling these guys all day, because he kept asking, like if I do this, is this a good swing? And he would do like the worst swing I've ever seen, and they'd be like, you're kidding, right? He goes, no, I'm serious, like what's wrong with that swing? And it was just watching these guys be like trying to nicely say like, oh, everything is wrong with that swing.
That's so funny. I wanted to make a video like that for sure, where you actually like hire, it's all hidden camera, but you like hire like an actual golf professional to teach you, and you would do just that, like where you just like absolutely take like a foot and a half divots, and you're like, I just don't know what I'm doing wrong. Like you just do like the dumbest swing. That's so funny, dude. Yeah, that guy's great. If you guys don't know, Aristotle Athiris is behind Goat Face. He's the director of Goat Face, which is a special on Comedy Central. So yeah, check that out for sure. Do you ever feel competition with people with your same name?
No, there's like an immediate bond. I remember right before I moved to Los Angeles, I knew of Aristotle Athiris, and I was like, man, I'll probably run into this guy at some point. And then we did one time at the Comedy Store, and he knew of me, and because I had been out here. I'd been out here for a couple months or whatever doing shows, and he saw my name on lineups and stuff. And he was like, it's you. And I was like, it's you. And like immediately we were just good friends. And it's literally because of our stupid names.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got one that it doesn't happen very often. You know, you run into another Aristotle. I run into other Jakes on the daily. It's annoying. Every time like they're like, oh, you got the same. And then we're like, oh, we should start a podcast. And then I just like, all right, man. Okay.
Dude, Jakes.
Is it true that you are the reason why the PGA Tour is deciding to limit the flight of golf balls? They're going to change the core so people can't hit it as far. Is that true? You're behind that?
Yeah. No, I hit up the PGA Tour commissioner, and I told him, I was like, man, you know, these balls, they're going too far. I'm sick of hitting it so far. And he was like, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. This is unprecedented. You know, you're tearing up golf courses. You're shooting in the mid 80s. You know, you shouldn't be shooting that low. Let's go ahead and get you, get this fixed. And so that's why they're moving to change the core on all these balls.
I mean, it makes sense. Like you can't just keep lengthening these courses and just like ruining the earth as a whole. So yeah, change the ball.
Yes.
Like if people are like destroying the course, it's because the technology has just gotten so good that it just like people are hitting it over 400, you know?
Right, dude. And I think about that all the time. Like what it must have been like to play golf in like the 30s, or like, you know, I mean, I don't want to go too far back and say like to play golf in the 1600s, but to play golf like even in the 80s, like they're playing with like Balata balls, and they literally have woods, and shafts are not built to a player at that point. It's just kind of like one size fits all, it seemed. grips sucked. Like, and yet these guys were still out there shooting, you know, under par. Like, that blows my mind. And so, you know, to have these, the technology come as far as it has, I would love, I wish so bad that we could go back in time and, like, you know, give Ben Hogan today's technology and go watch him, or, you know, Bobby Jones, watch one of those guys go back and play and see what they shoot with today's technology.
Yeah, it was so, the game was so much harder. I mean, courses weren't as long, I guess, but also you had to, like you couldn't mark your ball on the green. Like, you had to, like, chip it over somebody else's ball. Like, that's a factor, you know?
There's so many elements that, like, that we don't face today because both technology and how, like, how the rules have evolved, and it's definitely more beneficial to players today. So it's like those guys are probably far more skilled than these guys are, in terms of that. And I guess you could say the same for most sports in terms of technology, but golf is the one where I feel like it's really affected it the most.
Yeah, you're probably right. My sister just got, like, a new softball bat, though, and she said, like, elderly women were, like, hitting it over the fence with it, though. Like, she just joined this softball league and, like, got, like, a brand new DeMarini and showed up the first day and, like, immediately, like, an icon of the game. She said, like, literally there was, like, a 55-year-old lady on her team who hit a home run with her bat.
Damn. It was probably in the park, dude. I guarantee it was in the park because someone fucked up in the outfield. Guaranteed. Bet money. I would throw $1,000 on that.
Like, really throwing shade on Mary Ellen, the lady's name.
I mean, I'm throwing shade on whoever fucked up in the outfield and couldn't throw it far enough to the infield to get her out at second base.
Yeah, you got to hit the cut there.
Literally, dude. Embarrassing. You know, get someone in the outfield that can fucking throw the ball.
You look wildly comfortable right now.
I am. I'm pretty comfortable, dude. I'm outside just trying to catch a little vitamin D, catch some D. You know, stay healthy and, you know, you got to do everything you can right now in quarantine to really bring yourself joy, because it sucks, you know, with all the activities that, you know, for me at least, were stimulating and exciting and, you know, allowing me to travel and everything, have been, cut. You know, essentially. So it's any little thing that I can do to make myself feel okay about what's going on, I try to take advantage of.
Were you planning on touring with your comedy at all before this all happened, or do you have some dates lined up?
Yeah, I had a bunch of stuff going on between April and October. I was really, really pumped about this year. Last year I did my first year as like a headlining act, you know, doing off nights and whatnot at clubs across the country. And I was really feeling as though I was building momentum coming into 2020. And both for comedy and music, my DJ project had some dates that, you know, naturally all got canceled. So I was really excited. And then even just traveling, going to music festivals, that's, you know, always where I've found my most joy and my, you know, inspiration. A lot of stuff that I create and I think of literally comes from attending those events and meeting those people and collaborating with people at those events. And so to lose that has really dealt a blow to, you know, my mental well-being and just how I've you know, how I've been handling everything. So it's any little thing that I can do to make myself, you know, feel better, you know, I'm doing it these days, just taking it slow, taking it easy, and trying to really appreciate everything. And because, you know, yeah, the world will never move this slow again, I guarantee it. So you just got to take advantage of it and try to find little things that make you happy.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, that's well said. People are going to miss it, you know, like when just fast-paced society comes back. So wait, so have you ever, just to go back to like getting paired with like random, like weird people on the golf course, do you have any experiences like that where you'd like get paired with somebody and either they're just like wildly slow or just like really bad at golf or just say like super inappropriate things? I feel like that's like the big three.
Yeah. Yes, dude. I've got so many stories. So I remember when I was first really starting to play golf, I was actually living in British Columbia up in Canada, and I was playing on this golf course one time, and me and my buddy were like the course kids, basically from when I was in like seventh grade through high school. I was either a course kid at a golf course where they just were like, oh, here's Aris, he's here to play. And they would just like hook me up, give me like the worst tee times, or like set me up with like random people, and allow me to like use the range facilities and everything. Or I was working at a golf course. And so this is when I first was starting. Me and my buddy were playing, and we got paired up with this old lady. And she was not bad at golf. It wasn't that she was bad at golf.
Okay.
But literally every single time she mishit a ball, she would mishit it and just be like, oh, Beverly, like every single time, and just shout her name. And it happened quite often. When she did connect, like, she connected, but oh man, it was just so funny. Every other hole, we're just at least one or two like, oh, Beverly, come on, Beverly. And it just really stood out. And so it was like one of those things where now if I miss a putt, sometimes I'll drop an O Beverly for her.
Hit him with an O Bev.
So just a quick O Bev. Oh, Beverly, hit the ball, Beverly. Oh man, it was funny because she had a southern accent. We were living in Canada. But yeah, I'll never forget Beverly.
There's no other sport really where you just have that much time just to like get to know somebody you would never hang out with in real life.
And also golf is like one of those things where you can learn a lot about a person based on how they play, you know, like. That's why I think there's so many people that do business on golf courses, because like you can see if someone cheats, like you can see, you know, if someone
snapping clubs,
how focused they are, how much they pay attention or care about details. There's a lot of like little inconspicuous aspects of golf that I think carry on into real life. So, you know, playing golf with somebody is a good way to see who they are, like as a person and whatnot. You know, I remember one time I played with somebody who I went into the round. I was like, oh, I like this person a lot. And then I played with them and I saw that like they like didn't really respect the rules, and they didn't like, you know, they didn't have good etiquette on the golf course. And I remember walking away and being like, ugh, I feel different about this person. Like, no joke.
It's one thing to go out to a golf course and just like have fun and drink, you know, drink aggressively, you know, you're have yourself a day. But like, if that's what you guys are trying to do, but like, if you tell somebody you're like, you know, like a 2 handicap or something, you go out and you like can't break 90, like, I'm not going to trust you to run my company. You know, you got to show up,
yes.
You know,
I found the homies that I like to play with. And, you know, whenever we get out there, it's the real deal.
Yeah, dude, I'll get rattled like really easy. Like if I'm playing with a group of my friends and then like somebody joins like at the turn and I just like their energy is different. Like it's definitely like a personal issue, but I just like lose my cool out there. And I just like, I'm just cursing them out in my head.
You're just like, God damn it, Beverly.
Part is like golf etiquette, whatever, but like how good it feels to throw a club.
Oh.
Like just winding up, give it a crow hop and really just let her go. Like if that was more, I wish that was like more acceptable on tour, you know, where you can just like break clubs and right. Throw them. And like, that was just a part of the game. I do kind of wish that that was a factor for sure. Like how exciting would it be to see Tiger just absolutely let a 7-iron go?
Yeah. Hit some lady in the crowd right in the eye. That'd be fucking sick.
No, you should get one break per round.
Yeah. That's why I failed, I think, as a golfer when I was in high school. That's why, like, I never was able to get to that next level, just because at the time I didn't have the temper for it, and like I would let 2 shots ruin an entire round, and I would yell and scream and fuck, not really yell, but just be like, God damn it, and like literally like throw my club at my bag and angrily grab my putter to like, you know, so it was like that kind of shit why I feel like I was unable to really get to the next level or try to compete at a collegiate level, because I just didn't have the temper for it. Now I've definitely, you know, drawn it in, you know, I feel like I have a better temper and I could control my anger much better. But damn it, in those peak years, son, I could have made it.
I feel like we all look back on our like high school golf or whatever and like just fantasize about how good we thought we were. You know, you can put it together for moments, but like I don't even know if I was ever really that good. Like my friends now are like really, really good at golf. Like they don't shoot above par at the course that we play. And like if I shoot 75, 76, I'm like this was good. Like nothing went wrong. I don't know. It's just a different level for those guys that are like truly on top of the game. My thing was I always loved like a good chirp. Do you remember any like just legendary, like it's better like obviously I think the ideal situation is if somebody else comes and joins your group, but you have a friend with you and you can just like chirp to that guy. And it's like maybe like above the game where he doesn't fully understand it, but your friend gets that you're making fun of. Like with Aristotle, when he was messing up his swing on purpose, when he was getting lessons, like that's such a funny thing to do.
Yes, it is.
I once played in a high school match and against this kid who was, he was pretty bad. Like he, on like at one point he was like the seven, it was 9 hole matches, but like on the seventh hole, he was already out of it. Like he wasn't going to place. He wasn't going to break like 44 or something that like dumb like that. And he just like, he didn't finish the hole. Like you have to finish the hole. It's a stroke play event. And he just like picked his ball up and at the end, like his coach, like on the ninth green, he's like, how'd you play out there? And then my buddy who was on my team with me goes, he played really well. He almost finished all the holes. Yeah. I just feel like that was such a solid chart. Like just like how'd you play? Oh, I played really great, man. I played mostly all the holes.
Most of them. I got 8 out of 9 done. So
yeah. Do you ever have a good chirp out there or is it something you kind of just stay in your lane? You do a good job with that where you don't ever, like, all the content you put out on the internet, it's never been, like, too offensive in any way. Yeah, like, you're not, like, trying to mess with people, you know?
Yeah, no, I do my best not to because I don't like bothering people. I guess it just comes down to the fact that I don't like being bothered. So it's always done, you know, anything that I do that's, like, inserted in real life is always sort of just it's just in good fun. It's in jest. And so when you say like a chirp, any good chirps that I have, you know, I've got some standard, you know, like if you hit the ball too short on a putt, like one of my favorite things to do is like, I'll be like, oh shit, is that blood dripping down your leg? You know, one of those,
sure.
The person is on their period.
Oh yeah. Thank you for clarifying that.
I just, you know, I want to make sure that it's clear. Like my grandma's name was Sally, and you know, so I'd be like, "Oh, nice hit there, Sally." You know, because my grandma, you know, she was weak. Let's just be honest, dude. She was old and decrepit. So that's another chirp that and I'll throw out there.
Not a great putter. She wasn't good at putting.
That, I, you know, I'm always trying to look at the positive. I'm always, if someone mishits it or it's like, you know, hits, you know, I got a good one for shanking, you know, like, oh, nice hosel fade, you know, like a little hosel fade. You'll have a nice angle.
Hosel fade's pretty solid.
Hosel fade's a good one.
Just a gentle fade off the hosel.
Yeah.
When we were playing together, anytime you would mess up a shot, which basically never happened, you would say hold for sound, which was pretty solid. I liked that.
Like you're... Well, that was too because we were filming, and that's just, you know, that's like it's a film term, so I was always just like hold for sound.
Have you had any? Controversial posts like that you put out on your own page and you not maybe like regret, but like you had to take down because things just like went a bit too far or the reaction wasn't what you were going for and not your intention?
Truthfully, no. I really do my best to like stay away from certain things that, you know, would, you know, you want to try to stay as far away from politics, or if you are doing anything political, in my case, I try to make it as stupid as possible, so that you can't even say that I'm picking a side or this or the other, because truthfully, it's all so stupid and dumb and pathetic. that I just like to, I like to just take it so ridiculous that you can't even get mad at anything. So fortunately, I haven't ever, you know, taken, the only time I've ever taken down a post is if it didn't perform well. And I was like, oh, it's tanking. I'm done. Delete it.
They can't see me like
but
this.
Beyond that, you know, yeah, literally. Beyond that, I'm fortunate to have always sort of taken a stance that's relatively neutral and doesn't trigger anybody or doesn't offend anybody. And it's difficult this day and age to do that, but I feel good about the accomplishment of having made it this far without having something like that happen. So, you know, just gotta be conscientious and really take everyone's feelings into account before you push that send button.
Yeah. Wow. Really voice of the people there.
You're never gonna please everybody, but I like the idea of having a place where people can escape to and not have to worry about, you know, okay, I'll swear, you know, I'll say this, I'm vulgar occasionally, but or very often, depending on how you look at it. But it's never like, you're not going to come to my page and get angry at stuff. So yeah, that's always been my goal.
Yeah. People get pretty pissed at us, at golfers on the golfers page, because like we post like a lot of course damage things. And like just people just flipping carts aggressively. Nope. Like I think everybody who follows golf, like also really appreciates the game. But golf carts are fun to flip and you don't get that hurt.
Yeah, right. You don't get that hurt.
It's so wild how people are always okay.
I know
99% of the time they're like just fine. It doesn't make sense to me.
You'd think that. I've got some I've got two good golf cart stories. Well, only one's good. The other one kind of sucks. I worked at this really nice golf course in Florida, and everyone had their own custom golf carts.
Names.
One guy had this golf cart. What did you say?
I just kept saying names. Like the course in Florida, and then who was members.
Okay, I can definitely name the course. The course was Admiral's Cove in Florida.
Okay.
Real nice private golf course, real expensive. And I remember I was this one member had this really fast golf cart. It literally went 60 miles per hour. And so whenever he would drive it and park it with us overnight, sometimes we'd go on joyrides. And one night, me and my coworker took it out just to make sure that we had gathered all the carts from the golf course. Because sometimes members would take the cart and just park next to their house and just leave our golf cart out there. And we'd be like, God damn it, we have to go get that. So we took this guy's cart and we were fucking rocketing through the second hole, which had like a bunch of hills. But I forgot that the last hill was like a half hill. And so we're going full speed up and down all these hills. And I hit this last hill and just fucking launched the golf cart. And like legit, we were probably going like 40, dude. And it lands and we both like, I hit my head on the steering wheel. And my buddy that was there, like just, he was shaken up. We were both shaken up, but everything seemed to be okay with the golf cart. And we're like, all right. When we get back to, we finished driving around the holes, we got back to the cart barn, I got out, and we both got out and hit our heads on the ceiling, and we're like, what the fuck? And we noticed that the metal bars that held up the ceiling had literally all bent, and the ceiling was like a foot lower than it normally was.
Oh, no.
And we were like, oh, fuck, he's gonna notice. So we just parked the golf cart and just kind of left it there, and the next day when the guy came in, we weren't there, but apparently he was curious as to what had happened. And one of our coworkers covered for us and was like, oh yeah, no, we don't touch the golf carts once they're in. And but we fucked up his golf cart. And I'm sorry, Mr. Sackle. His name was something Sackle, S-A-K-E-L-L, Sackle.
Oh, wow. That would be wild if it gets around to him.
Yeah.
You did say the name of the course as well.
Hey, Dr. Sackle, did you hear what happened to your golf cart back in 2002?
Well, I'm sure he's probably okay. If he was a member there, you know, he probably just got a new cart. Life goes on.
Oh, yeah. No,
for that man, for
no
Sackle.
No question about it.
I also worked as a cart guy for a minute in Orange County, actually, at this course called Aliso Viejo.
Ooh.
Yeah. The most underappreciated role at the golf course. You really run the whole system. Yep. You know, the course would fall apart without you, and you work harder than everybody, and Literally. You don't get paid that well.
Nope.
Get a lot of singles for cleaning clubs.
Yeah, the golf course I worked at was a non-tipping policy.
Oh,
so,
my.
And it was fucked up because members would like come up and like try to like tip you, and if yeah. you took the tip, they would go in and tell your manager and be like, "Hey, Aristotle is taking tips."
The member would tell? No, the member wouldn't. That's like
the member.
That's deep rooted.
The member would go tell because they just love to complain, dude. They were Karens before the Karens.
Wow. All right. I mean, yeah. I don't feel bad for the Sackle guy anymore. They're pulling stunts like
yeah.
that.
Fucking asshole. Sackle asshole.
Do you ever think about, well, one up top, I would love to see some more golf content for you from you. I feel like the world is waiting. I know you've talked about before you yeah, really wanted right. to get into the game. Do you have any ideas or have you thought about like what you would want to do as far as just like make some content within that world? Have you,
yeah, I definitely.
Is it cool
have,
to dude, end a? Wanna, is it sorry? Is it cool to end a question with Is that what most people do? That's like pretty standard,
yeah,
right?
No, that's perfect, dude. That's perfect. And I have 8% battery, so this is like perfect timing. So for me, I definitely would want to do, you know, like things that you do on the golf course, like basically dudes on a golf course being fuck ups and like having that conversation or having like, doing like quick clips of things you say when people fuck up their shot, like, and just doing like quick clips like that, really going in on it. And then I want to incorporate more trick shots because I can do them. They just take a long time and they're difficult to film. Get somebody that's willing to sit there and fucking watch you fail for an hour before finally doing it half-ass good. And then, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You, so, like, had a collab with, like, Coach Rusty one time, didn't you? I remember seeing
yes.
that.
Yeah, we collabed. We collabed. And I would like to collab again, but he's down in Florida. So whenever he gets back to LA, I'm sure we'll link and build.
But yeah, man, dude, thank you so much for taking this time to do the podcast. And just like on a closing note, like as you see the PGA Tour and you like see how it's shifting right now, right? Like, I don't know if you've been watching it all, but like no fans obviously for the rest of the regular season, at least on all the playoffs. I doubt it's going to be back by the end of 2020.
Doubt it.
But just how the things are changing, like, do you see golf and be like, oh, I wish they did this differently, you know, as far as like presenting it or like the rules of it? Like, how do you feel like the game could change?
You know, it's tough to say, but, you know, I think they're doing as good a job as they can. I think all, so far at least, all pro sports have been doing a really good job handling this. And, you know, hopefully we bounce back and we get back to some semblance of normalcy within the next 2 years. But, you know, taking the crowd out, making sure that players are testing, you know, the foam in the holes is a little annoying, but I get it. So you just,
yeah,
they're doing as good as they can managing something that came out of nowhere.
Right. Yeah. I feel you. Wow. Always positive. Aristotle Georgeson.
Yeah.
Dude, thank you so much for
taking
some time in your life.
Thank you too, man. Thanks for having me. And this was great. And I can't wait to see you succeed.
We'll see what happens. All right, man. Take care.
Later, brother.